Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Bill Owens, you got a couple of people who are announcing that they're going to run against you. You've done extremely well as a Democrat in a basically Republican district. You keep on winning, and yet you'll always probably have opponents. So now you got a former Bush aide and a Tea Party activist both announcing candidacies. What do you do to prepare?
Well, first let me give you a sort of an overview. My district is one of 50 to 75 districts that are competitive in the United States. I think that's a good thing. I think that that requires people to reach out to their entire constituency to understand what varying viewpoints are and requires you to, I believe, move towards the middle because you're trying to balance the interests of many constituents. So from my perspective, I think this is a good thing. It would be a good thing if the entire country faced it rather than having strictly blue or strictly red districts.
I couldn't agree with you more. You're right.
So, from a philosophic and good government standpoint, that's where I'm at. From a personal standpoint, I'm just going to continue doing my job. I'm not paying attention to what anybody else is saying other than my constituents. So if somebody has a good idea or a complaint, I want to hear what they have to say. And I want to try and do something to respond to that. But I'm not going to become involved in a political adventure at this juncture. I'm trying to continue to do my job, focus on that, traveling all over the district, and I'm going to continue to do that through the end of my term.
Let's talk a little bit, if we can, Bill, about immigration reform. I read a fascinating story about John McCain basically lecturing the Republican Party and saying, we got to do something here. We got to make this thing work. There are those in the Republican Party who insist that immigration reform be squashed. And so I'm wondering what you see. McCain clearly understands that if they continue the way they've been doing, they're never going to get a Hispanic vote.
Well, I think that Senator McCain is just applying pragmatic analysis to the situation. I hope that he also has a feeling of responsibility towards the people who have come here. But at a minimum, he has a pragmatic analysis going on. And I don't think that that's happening on with much of the Republican Party who are on the far right. There's lots of good people in the Republican Party who are moderates, who are trying to find solutions. There's a string of people somewhere between 40 and 80 who are driving the party away from common sense solutions.
When you were just talking about that, the dog barked, and I wondered I wondered whether when you mentioned the word Republican, the dog barks.
No, we that's not something that we've worked on. Well, I have a new puppy.
Well, and dogs are intuitive.
Well, I have a new puppy. She's about 10 weeks old, and I tend to work in the mornings at home and get some exercise, and then usually late in the morning we head off to some portion of the district. Today we're on our way to Glens Falls, and ultimately we're going to wind up at the Washington County Fair about 5:30 tonight.
And the dog's name is?
Fiona.
Fiona. And I read somewhere that you thought that it was incredibly helpful to have a puppy with you when you went around in the district.
Well, you know, it attracts everybody. And so when you have a young, playful animal with you, people come over, they want to talk. It's an icebreaker, and I think that's very helpful.
So when you go back down to Congress, who takes care of Fiona?
Well, my wife will take care of Fiona.
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to bring her back down there with me, but unfortunately that just doesn't work out.
Is there a no-dog rule in the House?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I know that some members have dogs in their offices.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
But I don't know. I doubt you could bring an animal on the floor of the House other than a service dog.
No, that's fascinating. But I didn't even know you could bring one in your office, but you've solved that problem. Okay, so just to finish up on immigration, is it your sense that we can get something done in the House of Representatives, or is the sort of right in control?
Unfortunately, at this juncture, the only movement that I see occurring comes from the Group of Seven, which is four Democrats and three Republicans, who believe they're going to be able to put a bill on the floor when we go back in September that will not be will not match up directly with the Senate bill, but I think it will do many of the things that many of us would like to see happen. I doubt it will have a path to citizenship, and so they're going to put that on the floor. These fellows that I've talked to indicate that there's a significant amount of Republican support for this legislation. What that allows you to do, if we can garner enough votes, we can at least get it to conference with the Senate bill. And we've had great difficulty in getting bills to conference. As an example, we've been unable to get the budget bills to conference. The the House has refused to do that.
Why?
We've been unable to
What does the House say? Okay, you pass a budget. The Senate passes a budget. Why would the House refuse to conference it?
I can't give you the answer to that. We're all bewildered by that. We can't get the many of the appropriations bills to conference. We can't get the farm bill to conference. You get the sense that the Republican leadership does not want this to happen.
In other words, if it goes to conference, then there's the onus on them to get some kind of compromise done, and that's the last thing they want to do.
It appears that way.
Do you ever talk to them?
Sure. And, you know, the guys that I talk to, the Hannas, the Gibsons, are all in favor of moving things in that direction.
Is that because they, too, come from fairly competitive districts?
I don't think Rich Hanna so much, but certainly Chris Gibson.
Sure.
You know, Pat Meehan in the Philadelphia area. You know, all these folks are interested in moving things along, either because they come from a competitive district or in some cases they just think it's the right thing to do.
You mentioned the appropriations process. I'm fascinated by that. Obviously, what goes into every district is terribly important to the member. You, but we took away a lot of the things, the member items, whatever they're called. And does that tie your hands or does that help you?
Well, you know, I think that my view is that the use of member items was appropriate as long as there's full disclosure, as long as it's for not-for-profit enterprises or municipal enterprises. Nothing wrong with giving, in my view, a town or a city or a village money for a water system. Those things make sense to me. The members know what's going on in the district better than somebody at the EPA does. So I think that we should come up with a mechanism where we can, if you will, select or be in the part of the selection process for where funds go. You know, we're in a period of change, I think. We went from, having what we'll call earmarks or member items to having none, to people really struggling to find ways to help their districts out. And so I think over time, maybe we'll come up with another mechanism.
So when you now have to get a budget done and the House is held in such disrepute, and they don't do it, don't they know that this is going to kill them, that people are going to be even more unhappy with them?
You know, you would think that, but it's not necessarily clear. And I believe that there are members who honestly have concluded that this is what people want, that they want a smaller government. They want less funding into the districts. And they honestly believe that. I do not think this is a view held in many cases solely because it's politically expedient. I think many of the folks, many of the members actually believe that that's the case. Clearly my view is that we have to reach compromise on things and we have to act rationally as we allocate the dollars that we have.
Bill Owens, it's always a great pleasure to talk to you. You're always so forthcoming. When we come back the next time, I got a whole bunch of other things to ask you about.
All right.